And you know, when I was doing this word this week, you know, and you know, we're given a series kind of probably about 2 months ago, you know, so you get time to look and to pray and all of that, you know, and I had two sermons, and I'm just being honest, I had two sermons this week, and one was on the calling, and the other one was on rejection, you know, and I was kind of coming over this way to the calling. You know, I said, oh yeah, I'll do that when it's nice and fluffy and all that, you know, but something kept tugging me back this way to rejection. And Sophie had said to me, Mam, have you got your sermon done? And they would always ask me, Stephen and Sophie, to see where I'm at with the sermon and that. And I said, no, I haven't got it done yet. And I said, I'm thinking of doing it on the calling and blah, blah, blah. And I had already said to Sophie about the rejection one, you know. And then she came back to me a couple of days later and she said, where are you at with the sermon? I said, I'm stuck. I said, I can't seem to move off this calling one, you know. And she said, but maybe God is telling you to do the rejection one. So I said, all right. So anyway, put that one aside. And so I began anyway to do I began to pray. And I said, Lord, which one is it? And he began to tell me it's on rejection. And I believe this is for the house this morning. And I'm preaching at myself. And I'm just letting you know that, you know, when I bring this word this morning. But let me share. There's just a quick story. And it's one of my favorite stories, and you've probably heard it over and over again. And this story is about a farmer's donkey. And this donkey falls into a well. So the farmer tries everything to try and get the donkey out of the well. And to no avail, he can't seem to get the animal out of the well. So he finally comes to terms with, I'm going to bury this well. I'm going to cover this well in. So he calls all his neighbours and he says to the neighbours, look, I have a job for you. I want to cover in this well, he said. And they knew that the donkey was down in the well. So he said, pick up a shovel, he said. We're going to get to work. So they all picked up the shovels and they began to take up the soil off the ground and they would throw the muck in on top of the donkey. And as they were throwing the muck in on top of the donkey was crying. And it wasn't just, it was a pitiful cry. It was a heart's cry. And every time they'd throw it in, he would just begin to wail, this donkey. And, you know, as time went by, then there was a silence. And so the farmer said, why is that donkey quiet, you know? But anyway, they kept shoveling in and shoveling in. So eventually the farmer looks in. And when he looks in and he looks down and he's amazed at what he sees. When he looked, he was just so astonished that every piece of soil, every piece of muck, every piece of dirt that was thrown in on top of the donkey's back, the donkey began to shake it off. And he began to shake off the dirt. And as he began to shake off the dirt, he began to bring it under his feet. And he began to gather under his feet. And as he began to gather it under his feet, he was taking a step up. So the more muck that was thrown in on top of the donkey's back, he would shake it off. And he kept shaking it off. And the muck just began to gather underneath his feet all the time. And eventually, the donkey got to the top of the well. And he just steps out and begins to trot off. And the people were amazed. But you know what? Life can throw stuff at us. It can throw so much dirt at us. It can throw so many storms at us that I want to talk about rejection this morning, how we get to shake it off, how we get to step up and step out into what God has called us to be. You know, if I asked everyone here this morning, when you hear the word rejection, what comes to your mind? Because the truth be known, every one of us has suffered with some form of rejection. Every one of us has. But when you hear the word rejection, or when you hear the emotion of it, what comes to mind? What people come to mind? What painful situation comes to mind? What circumstance comes to mind? What words come to mind? And maybe they're words of exclusion. abandonment, rejection. Maybe it's neglect. Maybe it's that you've been ignored, you've been dismissed, you've been betrayed, you've been pushed away, you've been let down. Maybe it's that you've been dropped. People have become damaged from the roots of rejection. But we've got to understand how it works as people and how we overcome it. And if we want to be all that God has created us to be, His word tells us that without being rooted, without being grounded in the love and the acceptance of God, we cannot experience the fullness of God in our lives. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, 31, 39. If you don't have a Bible, if you have your iPad, your iPhone, let's open the scripture because I think we really need to read it together. Looking in your neighbor if they have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, tell us, we'll get you a Bible. This is your tool. This is the word of God. This is your tool. Like when a builder goes on a job, he brings his toolbox. You know, and our tool is the word of God. So let's look at Romans 8, 31, 39. And you know, when we read this piece of scripture, before I even begin, I just want you to know that you can be confident of the Father's love and acceptance towards you this morning. And I don't know whether everybody believes that, but Spirit wants to move here this morning. So let's look. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, when we read that scripture, nowhere in that scripture, nowhere is there room for rejection. Absolutely nowhere is there room for rejection in that scripture. But, you know, we've got to get honest as a people. We've all experienced it somewhere in our lives. And, you know, if I was to ask you, did rejection bother you? And maybe you would say, no. Rejection has never bothered me. I never think about it. I don't give that much thought. Well, we've got to be honest. Rejection does bother us as people. It bothers us. And until we recognize the presence of rejection in our lives and discover the source of where that rejection has come from, it's never going to go away. Never. Unless we deal with the source of where that's come from. You see, rejection is very painful. It goes more than skin deep. It goes more than skin deep. It goes into the core of a person's being. You see, the word rejection, it's to refuse. It's to throw away. It's to devalue. And you know, if Simon was to come to me and say to me, I would like to be your friend, and I reject Simon's offer, what does that do to him? That sends a message to Simon that I'm actually devaluing him. That I don't want to be his friend. And then he begins to think, well, why doesn't she want to be my friend? You know, what is it that I've done on her that she doesn't want to be my friend? You see, rejection, it sends a message. There's a message attached to rejection. And we've got to look at, you know, what are the root causes of rejection? And it can result in a person not knowing their identity. And many of us will base our identity on what people actually think about us. And we base our identity on our parents. We base it on teachers. We base it on our friends. And that's what we can base our identity on. And our identity can be based on actually what defines us as people. You know, our jobs. Are we driven by success in our jobs in the workplace? You know, is our identity based on what our mother and father think of us? Is our identity based on what our friends think of us? Is our identity based on how good we perform in school and college and the grades that we actually achieve? Is our identity based on what we bring home every week in our pay pack? Or is our identity based on what you think of yourself? You know, if we're to base our identity on what our mother and father think of us, and the moment any form of disapproval comes from them about us, we can't handle that. We can't handle being rejected by our mother and father. We can't handle being rejected by the hurt. And what we do is we actually allow them to become our source of identity. You see, when we place our identity in someone or something and not in God's word, we become more vulnerable to the damage that rejection can cause. You know, another form of rejection is judging yourself. You know, self-rejection is where a person actually rejects themselves. They don't like who they are. And that can lead to self-harm, and it can lead to somebody actually hating themselves. You know, I don't look good. I don't fit in. I don't dress well. I don't have the latest car. I don't have the big house. I don't measure up. I'm not worthy. You know, if a little child came in here, and if I told them, you're not good enough. If I told them, there's something wrong with you. They would go away feeling so rejected, so hurt, and they would carry that rejection in their lives. And the same is true for us. When we judge ourselves, we are actually speaking to the inner child inside of us. Are you hearing me this morning? Where we actually, when we judge ourselves, we speak to the inner child that's inside of us. And the question is, do you have a hard time loving yourself? Do you have a hard time accepting the love of others? You know, when I walked into church 19 years ago, I had a hard time accepting that people loved me. It was an area that I struggled with. I used to be so suspicious of everybody. You know, I was suspicious of, well, why are you being nice to me today? What are you looking for off me? What do you want to get off me? Is it money? Well, I haven't got money, so I can't give you money. But my mind would race, you know, and I would become so suspicious. And thank God I'm not there now. But, you know, being suspicious, you have a hard time making friends. You have a hard time building relationships. And you actually become a loner. You become a person that's isolated, doing things by yourself. You see, rejection can cause you to be fearful of anyone getting too close to the real you for fear of being rejected. And maybe you're saying to yourself, if they really knew me, they wouldn't really like me. But yeah, that actual person is really looking for something to fill that emptiness inside them. But they can disqualify themselves. They can destroy themselves. They can become critical. They can become bitter. They can become depressed. Because they can't genuinely accept the fact that somebody wants to help them and somebody wants to love them. And we go through life depriving ourselves of love. We go through life of you know, depriving ourselves of not being accepted. You see, people with deep wounded rejection find it difficult to belong. They find it difficult to fit in, and they find it difficult to feel worthy. You know, if a child never felt loved when they were younger, that child can have a root of rejection inside of them. And it can cause them to probably turn to pornography, to lust. And that's where they feel that need of love to come from. We can go through life cheated. We can go through life cheated out of what God really wants to do in our lives. There's a book called The Hidden Price of Greatness, and it relates to men and women of God. And the book explains about childhood suffering. And there's a guy called David Brainerd, who became an orphan at the young age of 8 years of age. And at 8 years of age, he lost his father. And then at 14 years of age, he lost his mother. And when he lost both his parents, he inherited their estate. And he was left a considerable amount of money. But you know, David Brainerd, the most valuable thing that he lost was the acceptance and the love of his parents. He strived for their love and their affection. And Brainerd felt, as a young man, the burden of the debt of both of his parents. He took on that responsibility. And the author of the book wrote, he said that the Holy Spirit was continuously and repeatedly trying to tell David Brainerd that his identity was in Christ. And Brainerd would practice this for a while, and then he would slip back into works. And then he would begin to suffer this mentality of striving for perfection. And there are many people like David Brainerd who practice their identity in Christ. They go along for a while and they enjoy the presence of God. They even enjoy the victories of God. And then they begin to slip back into a place of vulnerability and rejection. And the enemy played upon Brainerd's weaknesses. As a missionary, Brainerd died at the age of 29. 29 years of age he died. And even though he had a powerful ministry, he had become too ill to preach. He had become too ill to pray. He had even become too ill to teach. The young man exhausted himself trying to serve God perfectly, that he became so ill and he died simply because he felt so insecure and rejected. How many David Brainerds are there today? How many people are exhausting themselves by trying to be worth something? We read Romans 8 a couple of minutes ago, and it says that we've all been accepted by the love of God. We've all been accepted. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We all have available to us one thing, and that one thing is truly known, the love of Jesus Christ. You see, it's his opinion that counts about you. It's not anybody else's opinion. It's Jesus' opinion that counts about you. So how do we overcome rejection? You know, we've got to start seeing ourselves for who we really are in Christ. You know, Ephesians 3:17 says, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it's too great to understand fully, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Amen. You know, being rooted and being grounded means that we build under us a stable foundation of knowing and understanding the love of God. We heard about the house this morning, about, you know, when we build our house on the rock or when we build the house on the sand. We've got to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We've got to get rooted. We've got to get grounded in the Word of God. We've got to accept that we can conquer all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We've got to accept that we can never be separated from the love of God, because this is who we are. We've heard about our identity, that we are the children of God. Do we believe this morning? Do we believe that we are more than conquerors? Do we believe it? And if you don't believe it, that's okay, because this is what this sermon is about. If we operate out of fear, if we operate out of guilt, if we operate out of condemnation, we need to look at what bondage is keeping us back. What's restricting us from moving forward in the things of God? We've got to know who we are. You see, roots of rejection can come in many, many forms. They can come in seeds, they can come in roots, and they can come like trees. The enemy wants to not just plant a seed of rejection in you. He wants to plant a deep, deep root in the core of your being, because that's his tactic. He wants to keep you bound and tied up so that you don't experience the fullness of God. You see, when we allow him to come and put that deep root within us, that root has little rootlets off it. And those little rootlets are feeder branches where he comes and he begins to tell lies to us of that we are not worthy, that we are not people of God. And that root then becomes a tree in our life. It becomes an obstacle that we can't get past, that we can't see past. Just like what Vicky said, the binoculars. You see, God wants to give us binoculars today. He wants to put new vision on us today. And if we don't deal with this root of rejection in our lives, we're going to stay stuck. We're going to stay stuck. We're going to stay like a stumbling tree. We're not going to move forward. We can go through life handicapped by focusing on the things that happened in the past, that happened in our childhood, that happened in our teenage years, that happened when we're young adults, when we're adults, that happened to us last month, last year, last week, yesterday. We can focus on things like that. And can I remind you that Jesus was despised. He was rejected. He was forsaken by men. And we need to get over it if people reject us. So what if people reject you? You know what? Sometimes they might actually have the problem and you don't. Did you hear me? Sometimes they might actually have the problem and you don't. You know what? Sometimes when we come in here and we don't give a hello to whoever, and people get huffed and people get offended, well, sometimes they have the problem. Not you. But sometimes what happens is you take that on. When our past crops up every once in a while and we are tempted to slip back, just like David Brian heard, and we feel that we don't measure up, and the enemy comes in like a tsunami and he begins to whisper, "You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Who are you?" We've got to know our identity lies in Christ. Our identity is known that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We are conquerors. We are conquerors. Do we hear that this morning? And when the enemy comes, we've got to slap him around with the word of God. We've got to slap him around with the word of God. We've got to tell him, "I'm a child of God. I'm rooted and grounded in God's word. I'm a conqueror. I can never be separated from the love of God. I can never be separated from God who loves me." It says in Isaiah 61 that God says his people should become trees of righteousness. So we've got to put out our spiritual hand. And we've got to say, "Am I going to take hold of this? If I believe that I'm loved and accepted, you know what? Things are going to develop in my life. Things like faithfulness, self-control, patience, love, acceptance, joy, peace. This is the promises of God to us. Bible says we get uprooted and replanted. Rooted and planted in the love of God. And I'm just finished. And here's three things that I want you to remember if you don't remember anything else. When those feelings of rejection come, we need to remember, I have a sense of belonging. I have a sense of belonging. I'm a part of what God has called me to be. I'm worthy. I'm worth something. I'm competent. I can handle whatever it is that comes my way. You see, I'm a part of God's family. God reveals his children, it says in Romans 8. We belong to him, and I'm going to start getting over these feelings of rejection. I'm worthy. You know what? You're worth something. And if nobody has ever told you that, I want to tell you, you're worth something this morning. God says you're worthy. You're of value. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should perish, that whosoever should not perish. That's the word of God. While you are yet sinners, Christ died for you. See, he's living inside of us. He loves us. He loves us so much that we cannot be separated from him. And I'm capable, I'm confident, I can handle whatever tsunami the devil throws at me. Because Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. So Father, we worship you, Lord God. I'm a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we can be confident that nothing can separate us from the love of God. If God gave his son for you, he isn't going to hold back the gift of healing. If Jesus gave his life for you, he's not going to turn his back on you. You see, God will not withhold anything for your life. No matter what happens to us, no matter where we are, we can never, ever, ever be separated from the love of God. And if this word has spoken to you, whatever root of rejection is in your life, and with every eye closed, I'm going to ask for some privacy. Whatever bondage, whatever stronghold is holding you back, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you, Lord God. Father, we worship you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus. You see, the Lord wants to set people free here today. The Lord wants to declare a declaration of freedom over your life today. A declaration of freedom. A declaration. Because we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You know what? You're worth something. You're worth something. You're valuable. You are so valuable to the kingdom of God. You belong in the family of God. So, Father, we come by your power, Lord God. And, Father, I ask that you release, Father God, your anointing oil, Lord God, over your people. Hold out your hands to God. And, Father, we come by the name of God. And, Father, we say, break off the yoke of rejection, Lord God. Father, break off that yoke, Father God, that has your people bound. Father, break it off. Break its power, Lord God. Father, break the stronghold of it. And Father, I ask that you release healing, Lord God. Father, release your freedom into your people, Lord God. Father, release a fresh wind of God upon the people here, Lord God. Father, we are not the tail, Lord God. We are not the tail. Father, you have come, Lord God, so that we would have fullness and joy in you, Lord God. And Father, we receive that today. We receive the fullness of God today. We receive it, Lord God. And Father, for the body, Lord God, Father, will you come and just pour out a fresh anointing on your people, Lord God. A fresh anointing, Lord God. A fresh anointing, Father God. That, Father, that when the enemy comes, Lord God, Father, that they would take hold of the word of God and that they would begin to declare, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ who loves me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. So, Father, we receive it today. We receive it. We receive it. Thank you, Jesus.